Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wanted to talk about some of the texts coming in. You know, and it's interesting people's perspective on things and how they keep wanting to go back to something. So if we pay attention to where your priorities lie and your topics, you believe blocking traffic is a more egregious offense than storming the Capitol in a coup attempt. Don't play dumb either. You moved on from the January 6th news within a couple of days of the event and haven't revisited since, that I've heard. Well, I am one of those that doesn't believe that the world revolves around Donald Trump. You may, I don't. January 6th, I condemned it for what it was. I also said on January 7th that we need to put Donald Trump in our rearview mirror and move on. It hasn't worked out that way. It hasn't played out that way. But it's still going to be, you know, the outcome is still out there to be yet to be determined. But what is there to talk about January 6th? The fact of the matter is the system is working as it's designed to work. They identified individuals, some more egregious than others. They've charged them accordingly. They've brought them to court. Some are already serving time. Some have yet to go to trial on their respective charges. So what is it that I should talk about? The system is working as designed. I talked about how egregious it was. I talked about how we were selling people a pig in the poke that Mike Pence could alter the course of the certification of the electors there, that would have been an extraordinary event, so out of the ordinary, no one even really wants to think about it. But the fact of the matter is both parties are guilty as it relates to denying electors. They've all gone to the mic on the floor of the House and the floor of the Senate talking about this. Go do your research. So that in and of itself doesn't move me one way or the other. But for me, the world does not revolve around Donald Trump. Donald Trump has a lot of warts. I, for one, have said I don't believe that he's the future of the party. In fact, if he gets elected, he can serve one term. That in and of itself, to me, does not work in the best interest of the party. What do we gain? Look at where we are now. We're trying to defend ourselves as it relates to him, as opposed to being able to boast about where we would be. Our candidate, whether you like it or not, is caught up in court. Whether it's fair or not is a whole different topic, but he's caught up in court. That doesn't bode well for us going into November. Yes, the polls are indicating that he's in the lead of 5 of the 6 swing states. Those numbers have been moving. They're very fluid. I suspect that they're going to move even more as the Democratic political machine kicks into high gear, which historically and most recently, they have been able to turn out their vote with a lot more success than we have been, because we have been stuck as it relates to early voting. We've been encouraging people to not early vote and only show up on the election day. And then when election day has snow 6 feet deep in some areas, bad weather in other areas, we don't get the voter turnout. We don't get the votes, and we wonder why. because the others are just worrying about getting the vote. We're worried about how they vote. We can do exactly what they're doing. We don't. So we're competing against a model that is more likely to succeed than the model that we've adopted. And now everybody all of a sudden is recognized and realized, whoa, maybe we're wasting our time arguing about that. Maybe we ought to engage in making sure that we turn out the vote in the same way. Right? You don't have to listen long to conservative TV, radio, or otherwise, and that's what all of the pundits are saying. And we're finally waking up and understanding that, you know, the get out the vote effort is incredibly important, and it's broader than just election day. But this really isn't a battle for the right, far right, or the far left. This is a battle for the center. And when you look at what's going on right now, we're both miserably failing, meaning Democrats and Republicans. We're trying to shore up the fringes of our party and not recognizing that those in the center are going to elect the next president. They're going to elect the senators. They're going to elect the members of the House. And everything is really held in balance because there's not a big majority in either the House or the Senate. So really, there's a lot at stake in November. I'm a Republican, but I'm not one that refuses to criticize Republicans because I don't think that's healthy to just go along to get along and think everything's hunky-dory and it's all going to work out in the end and believe whatever our alleged Republican leaders have to say. I'm not one that's going to jump on an idiot bandwagon if that's what it is at that moment in time. I'm more likely to be one that points out that that's idiocracy. What are we doing? What are we saying? How does this work for us in the end? This is crazy. And of course, I've been a defrocked Republican multiple times, and I wear that with a badge of honor because that means, in my mind, that I'm probably making sense. They fear more people talking about it. So I'll continue to do that. But Trump, the world doesn't revolve around Trump for me. I know he wants everybody to believe that the world revolves around him, but I'm not on that bandwagon. Not now, not ever. He lost last time for a reason. We should spend a lot of time delving into that and trying to figure out why. He did. Wasn't by a lot. When you look at the total number of votes that he needed to get in order to shift that electoral vote, it's not a lot. But the fact still remains he lost. And a lot of what happened the last time might happen again this time. Some would say with more evidence, more things to ding the candidate than they had before. Some would say not so much, that there's more to ding as it relates to Biden. Folks are texting in and they're saying, well, you know, you're always picking on Biden. He's the president. He's the one that's passing policy. He's the one that's telling Israel, let me handcuff your other hand behind your back so you can go try and fight this war. He's the one that's making decisions about the southern border. He's the one that undid every policy that Trump put in place where the numbers were far less crossing the border illegally than what's happening today. I don't need to focus on what Trump did or said 4 years ago. We need to focus on what's happening right now. Now, I know that doesn't bode well for many folks that fall on the Democratic side of the aisle, but the fact of the matter is he's the president and you have control of the Senate. So, I mean, that's where you find, that's where we find ourselves politically at the present time. And, you know, in, unless and until we can be honest with one another about that, I mean, that's the bottom line. A lot of what we have today, some of Biden's policies have actually worked, but a lot of it hasn't. And the public's perception, and perception is reality, is that they're saying poll after poll after poll that they do not find themselves in a better position today than they were 4 years ago. That's not what I'm saying. I don't have to say it. That's what the public is saying in almost every single solitary poll that's out there. Now, it's got a lot of pollsters scratching their heads, wondering why, you know, because when you look at some of the economic data, it kind of reveals a different picture. But that's not what they're feeling when they're buying milk and lettuce and peanut butter or whatever it may be, where they're paying more, where they're going out to dine and they're paying more. They're feeling the kitchen table issues day in and day out. Why immigration polls is one of the biggest problems in the country. I've had a gut feeling that immigration was going to be an issue for a long time. I know in this market I've talked about immigration more than anybody else. Why? Because I lived it as a sheriff. I cooperated with ICE. Took a lot of criticism for doing it. But the reality is that when I held up my right hand and swore that I was going to enforce the Constitution and laws of the United States, the Constitution and laws of this state, and the ordinances of Jefferson Parish, I did not see an exception list there. I did not see any asterisks. I did not read something that was annotated that said see below for further explanation. But yet we have those that believe that one should be empowered to unilaterally decide what they want to enforce and what laws they don't, which ones they agree with, which ones they don't. These are laws long before Joe Biden took office, long before Donald Trump took office. If you go back to the first 4 years of Obama, you're going to find that he deported more illegal aliens than I think pretty much every president in modern time. How do you explain that? And then when the fringes of his party started to freak out and recognize and realize, well, wait, this works contrary to what we're trying to accomplish here, the second 4 years was a whole different gig. And we started implementing these exotic immigration policies that, one, a lot of people questioned whether or not there was the authority to do so. We started creating classifications of illegal immigrants in this country and giving them additional benefits, one, that a lot of people questioned whether or not there was the legal authority to do so. And the list goes on and on and on, and it's continued more and more and more. And we find ourselves, like in the city of Denver, that has now decided to defund police to the tune of $8.4 million in order to pay for benefits for illegal aliens. This was the sanctuary city that put up a big banner that says Denver loves immigrants. Well, we all love immigrants. We're all immigrants. The question is, do we love illegal immigrants more than legal immigrants? Legal immigrants themselves say, no, we should not. I had to wait outside this country for 10 years to get in. And now folks coming across the border illegally are getting more benefits than I was ever afforded to me who waited for years on end to come across the border legally. In fact, a Chicago restaurateur the other day, who's part of the National Restaurant Association, is complaining about that very happenstance. Saying, what about the people that I've employed that have been paying taxes forever now? They're not getting any of these benefits. They're not getting expedited work permits. They're not getting this. They're not getting that. A Democrat calling out the Biden administration saying, what are you doing? This makes no sense. How is it that we're taking folks that have coming from the back of the line, putting them in the front of the line, and we're basically discouraging people to do anything in the appropriate fashion or to follow the laws of this country? And we're rewarding that behavior. The city of Denver at first tried to blame the governor of Texas. Well, it turns out that an independent organization has looked to see the makeup of the population, and it turns out that a lot of the folks that ended up in Denver were there as it relates to the policies of the Biden administration. It had nothing to do with the governor of Texas moving people from Texas to Denver. And it's interesting to see how this is working. Most of the counties that surround Denver now are getting very aggressive as it relates to the ordinances and laws that they're passing in those counties because they've had enough. And the overflow out of Denver that has put out this warm and fuzzy feeling for illegals to seek refuge there, that they're now crossing into other counties, and these other counties, some of whom that say, we take pride in being a low-taxed county. We don't have the money to support this migration process that's going on right now. We want no part of it. This has become a very disruptive force to an otherwise stable, organized community that takes pride in not taxing their people in a huge way. And we've taken this common sense approach to government, what we're going to provide, this, that, and everything else. We cannot afford to be the overflow to the city of Denver in the county that that city's in. That county that I'm talking about would be where in the southern part of the state where Colorado Springs is located. We are a low-tax county, and this is having a huge impact on the region. So this is why this is ending up being the number one issue, is that people now are feeling it across the country. And I know folks don't want to come to grips with this issue, but they damn well better. Because it's now impacting the quality of life that a number of counties in this country have come to enjoy. And it's eroding away the ability of local government to provide the resources necessary to their constituents that they've grown accustomed to. In Denver, they're cutting police, they're cutting fire, they're cutting social services. Medical costs in that city and county are going up daily, and folks have had enough. And in fact, as liberal as the Colorado State Legislature is, they passed a bill that said that local government could not cooperate. Listen to this. They passed a bill that said county government could not cooperate with ICE. What's happening now? The counties are now suing the state, wasting taxpayer dollars because they did not want counties to cooperate with the federal government. If this is not stupid is as stupid does, I'm not sure what is. This is absolutely crazy. But they're paying the price, and it's well-deserved. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.